Good morning. It is 10 o'clock in the morning on the Sabbath day on the 15th of May in the year 2021. I'm actually coming to you to explain why I've decided to stop narrating The Christian Warrior by Isaac Ambrose. Now, there's something that I want to convey to you all. There's no such thing as chewing on the meat and spitting out the bone. Okay? To me, that is reprehensible. And it has no place in gospel preaching. Now, when I read these books to you, I read them cold turkey. I don't pre-read them before I record them. And this here happens to be the second time in 7 years that this has happened to me, where I was in the middle of reading something and recording, and I had to stop because what I was reading was completely contradictory to the teachings of Scripture. And this is one of another reason why I say you shouldn't put your trust in men, period, but rely solely on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read something that I posted on Facebook to explain why I stopped reading the book. And I will go through and use Scripture to debunk what Ambrose was saying in this. Okay? This portion was covering... Christian's duty in the case of an assault by the devil. Okay, again, I'm going to be narrating this portion here that I singled out as right where I stopped. Okay, and again, I came into seeing that Ambrose embraced an Arminian idea in his description, and he also embraced a heresy in this as well, which I will get to. He basically talked about salvation as an Arminian does. Okay, and I apologize for the mishap. Okay, but this time I had to stop like I did with Spurgeon when I was reading Jacob and Esau. When I saw that he was calling Arminians brothers, I had to stop. I almost stopped when Spurgeon referred to John Wesley as stating that he deserved to be numbered among the apostles out of the other side of his mouth, when he had previously, on the previous side of his mouth, had said that his doctrine was horrible, was wrong. But then in the same breath, you can't do that. You cannot contradict yourself when you're preaching, especially to someone who's elect. You can't do it, okay? Now, the portion I'm going to cover now is the Christian's duty in the case of an attack by the devil. Okay, number one, your defense must meet the enemy's attack in every point. Would he drive you to despair by persuading you that your sins are too great to be pardoned? Or retort on him by saying that to despair of mercy would be a greater sin than all the rest? Tell him that there's no room for despair while the door of mercy is open and salvation is offered in the gospel. Okay, already Ambrose is wrong and he's getting away from himself, because this is supposed to be to the Christian's duty. But then here he immediately goes into who is not a Christian. Okay, there's that salvation is offered in the gospel. Well, the Christian already knows that. Okay, other sins are against the law, but this would be against the whole gospel of grace. Other sins are against the justice of God, but this would be against his love, mercy, and grace. Satan would be glad to drive you to commit such a sin as would be against all the attributes of God at once, which is true. All other sins may be carried away and buried in oblivion, except for the sin of the Holy Ghost. And he doesn't say that. Okay? A sin against the Holy Ghost. But he says, despair is a rejection of pardoning mercy. Okay, which is questionable. Then he goes on to say that Judas sinned more grievously by despairing of mercy than by betraying his master. Okay, that statement alone implies that Judas could have been saved had he not despaired. which is a heresy. There's no more greater sin than betrayal. That's what he was called to do, to betray. But to make a statement like that for somebody who's not a Christian or barely a Christian makes them think that, you know, that Judas had an opportunity for salvation. Okay, he goes on to say that Cain sinned more by thinking his sins to be more than God could pardon than by killing his brother. Again, that's an assumption. That is a 100% assumption that is not even alluded to in Scripture at all. Okay? Then he goes on to say that despair is the sin of hell. All sins are of hell because Satan is the father of sin. Okay? I tried to explain that in the midst of recording. Okay, which threw me off the tempo of what I was reading because I had to go and explain that Ambrose is wrong here. You can't do that. You can't say that. Okay, number two, does the enemy try to frighten you with the rigid justice of Jehovah? Okay, tell him that justice and mercy have met in the death of Christ and embraced each other. God can be just and save the sinner. This is true. Okay. Our God is both righteous and gracious. If the enemy asks, can God save such a transgressor as you? Say yes. He will betroth me in righteousness as well as in mercy, for he offers to marry me in Christ, where all his attributes harmonize gloriously. Okay, again, he started off by saying this is what the Christian is supposed to do. Well, the Christian already knows he's saved. Because a Christian is one who is elect of God, not the professor. Professors aren't Christians. The scripture tells us that you can't, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Okay? But here Ambrose is implying that false professors are Christians too, which is not true. Okay? Therefore, let sinners keep an eye on God's justice to keep them from presumption, and on his mercy to save them from despair. Christ has paid your whole debt, and when you come to live on Christ by faith, divine justice cannot condemn you. Okay, there's another problem with that statement. How are you going to live on Christ by faith when it's Jesus's faith, the Lord Jesus Christ's faith, that has saved you, not yours? Dead men have no faith because they're spiritually dead. Okay, mankind does not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ outside of life. He doesn't. And he certainly isn't going to understand anything about God's justice. Ambrose goes on to continue. Therefore, plead the merits of the death of Christ and embrace his offered pardons. Okay? To the Christian, yes, you can do that. To the non-Christian, no. But see, Ambrose is going back and forth. You can't tell who he's talking about. Come then, poor sinner, that borders on despair. See and know that divine justice is your friend when you rely on Christ for pardon and peace. Who shall lay anything to your charge when you take refuge in the death of Christ? See, here he should have said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He didn't make the distinction. Well, the scripture says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Why did he feel like he had to change it? Okay? There's now no condemnation, for God has pardoned you. Okay, number three, does the enemy frighten you with the holy law because you have so often transgressed it? The law requires of us absolute perfection and will never justify us without. This is true. But we have sinned and therefore can never be justified by our own merits and obedience. This also is true. By the deeds of the law can no man living be justified. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Again, this is true. Christ has satisfied and fulfilled the law for man. Okay, again, that is a blanket statement. Okay, because he doesn't talk about the moral law being perpetual, which it is. And Ambrose should have known better, because he talks this way in the previous chapters. Okay, but he doesn't hear. Okay, I'll continue. Christ has satisfied and fulfilled the law for man and wrought out a perfect righteousness for us. Okay? Incomplete on that. Okay? But then he goes way out of line. And here's the part that caused me to stop. And in order to be saved, we must believe in him for righteousness. The way of salvation is to go out of ourselves and to rely on the active and passive obedience of the Son of God, who is the Lord, our righteousness. That statement right there is not Reformed at all. At all. The Scriptures teach clearly, again and again, that God does the choosing. God is the one who makes the first move. Christ is the one who satisfies with the propitiation of his blood. The Holy Spirit regenerates the dead sinner. Then you are a Christian. It doesn't happen any other way. Period. And that statement right there, the way of salvation is to go out of ourselves. That implies that human beings have the ability to come to Christ without being drawn first. Period. I had to stop. I had to stop. He says, though we can never be justified before God by any obedience that we now can render under the holy and perfect law of Jehovah, yet the law must always be our rule of conduct, for we can never be happy any other way but by running in the way of his commandments, and we can never glorify God but by doing his will. And you can't do that unless you are first born again. So, as you can see, I could not go on. I couldn't. Not a chance. Not when he first... I'll read it from the post on Facebook. I said, I've made an excuse for Ambrose in the first part where he talks about despair. And he intimated that Judas would have been saved if not for despair stopping him from asking for forgiveness. Okay? That was the implication of the statement. Okay? Which is in direct contradiction with John chapter 17, verse 12, which reads, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. There was no chance for Judas. Never. Never, ever. In John chapter 6, I believe it's verse 7, 70 or 71, he said that Judas was a devil. Devils can't be saved. Judas was already gone. It didn't matter whether he despaired or not. Okay, as for the rest, again, if you listen to what was read, you can see how dead wrong Ambrose was in the statement. Okay? And I'll read it again. Okay, we'll read it slowly. Ambrose says, Christ has satisfied and fulfilled the law for man. Okay, he didn't say how he fulfilled the law. He just made that a blanket statement, which implies the entire law, the moral law, the ceremonial law, and the judicial law. Okay, which is not so. Because the moral law still is applicable to those of us living here on earth. In order to be saved, we must believe in him for righteousness, okay? Wrong. Again, salvation has already occurred. Then, the sinner believes. And even then, it's not a direct belief. It's not a concrete belief. They probably don't even know that they're saved. right away. I mean, they know something's different, but they cannot come out and say automatically, I am saved. I have faith. Because normally the sinner who has just been regenerated doesn't really know anything about the Bible. He might have been told some the Ten Commandments, and he understands that bit, that this is what God expects of every person living. Okay, but that doesn't mean that he believes with his heart, his soul, and his mind. It's not possible. Even after regeneration, you have to be taught, which is why we're told that we're fed first with milk, then with meat, because babies can't handle meat because of their stomachs. Okay, it cannot be done. Okay, no one can believe without first being regenerated. John chapter 3, verse 3. It's very simple. And we also know how and why in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. It's not a decision. It's a gift of God. So again, I'm done ranting about this, and I've explained why I stopped reading the book. Now, granted, there are some things in there that can be used and applicable to the Christian. To the Christian, to the non-Christian, none of it is applicable because they're not saved. They're not regenerate. And that's just a fact. Yes, it hurts. Yes, no other preacher will probably say it. I could care less. I'm not other preachers. Okay? The truth of the Word of God cannot be compromised. Cannot be compromised. And again, I apologize to those of you who are following along with it. I hope that you'll understand why I stopped reading it. And in the future, I'm gonna pre-read everything before I put it out. Because this is, like I said before in the onset of the message now. It's the second time this has happened to me. And I swear to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not allow it to happen again. It's my job to be a defender of the truth and to keep the wolf not only away from the door, but away from the building. Anyway, this is your pastor, narrator, Dwayne Lynn, signing off.